What's up, Brainiacs? Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Just a programming note that every Monday at 9 Central, you can join me, Andrew Cieslak, and Josh Custodio for Monday Night Program. Come hang out with us as we continue to build the WBCW universe using Fire Pro Wrestling Promoter Mode. Who should we sign? What matches should we book? Join us for the only professional wrestling program on Monday nights. That's Monday Night Program on twitch.tv/wrestlingbrain.
Comics in the combat zone. Comics in the combat zone. Usually we make you laugh, but now we're watching guys get stabbed with light tubes.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to Comics in the Combat Zone. This week talking CZW Enter the Zone, which happened March 17th, 2001 from Sebel, New Jersey, the Soccer Champs Arena.
I know, we're back, baby.
Do you think they've done most of their events that we've seen out of this arena?
Yeah, definitely. I think so, yeah. It felt like a homecoming. I'd missed it.
Yeah, and the commentators kept saying, like, whenever anyone swore in the ring, they were like, we're not supposed to swear.
Yeah.
And the arena's really just trying to bust their chops so they won't come back.
Definitely. Especially if they're like, oh, man, don't swear. It's like, that would be low down on my list of things that CZW shouldn't do.
Yeah, I understand don't break glass in our arena.
Yeah.
But, like, don't swear. It's sort of like,
all
right, guys.
It's a football. It's like a stadium. It's a sports thing. I'm sure everyone's swearing all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the show begins weirdly with the commentators, John Hitman House and Eric Gargiulo. They're speaking, like, in front of the fenced-off area. And they have no microphones, but the audio comes through clearly. So I was like, tech upgrade right off the bat.
It's a good sign, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a great opening. The Hitman, I mean, obviously, the Hitman in the CZW context, not in Brett the Hitman Hart context.
No, of course. He's taken the name.
Yeah, he's just stolen it. He sounds
what if the other guy was like, I'm Stone Cold Eric Gargiulo.
Yeah, exactly. Stone Cold and Brett and the Hitman, yeah.
We would see a finish get stolen from those two, actually, later on.
Yeah, yeah. No spoilers, though. It's, you know, got to keep some things in surprise. But it's cool. Like, I think the Hitman sounds like a cartoon villain from Top Cat. He's like, so, it's great. His voice is awesome. Perfect commentating voice.
Yeah, definitely. It's just the stuff he says that is tougher to deal with. But
oh, yeah. Oh, especially one line. One joke in particular that he loves.
Yeah.
That I don't think anyone else does.
No. Yeah, but they sort of run down the whole thing. And right off the bat, they say, by the way, Zandig's in Japan, so don't expect Zandig. And then they also promise this big surprise return or, like, this big star, which I'm pretty sure, like, he just didn't come to the arena because we didn't get a big surprise star tonight.
I think I know who they meant.
I think they were going to bring back Tommy Dreamer for an angle.
Oh, no. I mean, we'll get into it as we go on, but I think I know who they meant. It's just not. It's the wrong way to sell it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll get there. Yeah, they say Kashmir will be invading Jimmy Washington's show. This is the only thing I'm going to bring up from their rundown. And yeah, Hitman constantly calling him Cash Queer. It's just the line he loves saying throughout the whole night, which that would really piss me off if I was Johnny Cashmere, because it really is like a nickname that would just stick in this environment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's certainly trying to make it stick, for sure. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it first time, and certainly by the 200s. It's just not, it's like, okay, bro, we get it. Like,
and he's not the only one to say it. Like, all the heels say it, so you're just like, all right, guys.
Yeah, okay, move on. Original. Yeah, there's just one commentator who's like, I refuse to bow down. I'm like, fair play.
And so then we get our cut, and then we come back, and they're playing, like, I guess what is just the CZW theme. And then they introduce the returning ring announcer, Dennis Shock, who's just the guy who's been there from the beginning, but I never knew his name until they made it clear here. And then Dennis proceeds to run down the entire card again, even though we just saw the commentators do it. And half the card, they say, doesn't happen, and then we get surprise matches. So this is all sort of, like, redundant. So Dennis asks if they're ready for the top company in the world, and then does his parental discretion, like, but don't try this at home. These are professionals.
Yeah, don't sponge and try this at home, kids.
Yeah. I'm like, they're the same. They're professionals the same way I thought I was the first time I got paid for comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're like, well, I'm professional. Yeah, look, kid, look, young blood. I know what I'm doing here. And you're like, nah.
technically they might make money from wrestling, but it's not how they're making their living.
I'm certain the kids are in a safer environment to do their wrestling than these wrestlers are.
The fans are super pumped off the top, though. They're really hot, and they're chanting CZW. Like, usually you can hear the crowd, like, already drunk, like, yelling shit and heckling. And so I feel like they have cultivated a bit of a better audience than, say, like, a year ago, for instance.
Yeah, you don't know what you got till you lost it. So they probably saw it go to Delaware and they're like, we need to really pick up our ideas. We need to stop chanting the slurs immediately.
And then right away off the bat, we hear Zabar joins the commentary team. And I was like, this is wholly unnecessary. And he would be annoying for, I think he was only here for a match or two.
Yeah.
And then out first are the goofy tag team we saw last week from El Sexisto and Everett DeVore. It's weird because Sexisto, he's still like dressed like a cop stripper, but then he also has like a British puffy shirt on top of the cop gear.
Yeah, and he's like, DeVore's wearing, he's wearing, I mean, the commentators reference it, but it does look like he's just wearing a nappy.
Yeah.
He looks like a big baby.
Which is British for diaper.
Yeah, that's yeah, that's it for all you American chuds out there. I mean, a poo-poo diaper.
And then out next, you know, people saw this one coming.
Yeah.
It's John Dahmer and Eddie Valentine.
Oh, my. The crowd goes wild for another John Dahmer opening match.
And they complete with Jeff Rocker, who just pushes past them, and he's dressed fully as the Rockin' Rebel.
It's pretty funny, actually.
I was like, is that the Rockin' Rebel?
Yeah, that's the thing. First, I was like, they look completely the same, so I don't know who it is. But I was like, this is pretty funny. Just the idea, I just do like the Rockin' Rebel's outfit, this hardcore racist wears a crop, like wears an insane crop top. Yeah. And this other guy's found another one, I guess, and he's like just dressed like him, walking in again like a Roblox character, just can't put his arms by his side.
Well, I was going to say, I thought he looked like more deflated than the last few times we've seen him.
He's still pretty juiced, though. Like, he still couldn't walk properly.
Yeah, they're not going down forever, but it's almost like, I don't know, it's like he missed a cycle or something. Like, he wasn't as big as the last time we saw him.
Maybe there's a new wellness policy that's been instituted by Zandig.
Dude, Zandig's rule might be, like, no meth before your match. And
yeah.
Like, that's it.
No steroids unless you've bought them from me.
So DeVore gets a microphone for some reason, and he starts insulting them. And then Dahmer gets on the mic, and he just says, I'm going to break your neck in front of your boyfriend. And there are, and then DeVore says, well, that makes my nipples hard. And they're just completely going for the gay baiting sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the in-ring mic was a downgrade on last week. Like,
completely.
We couldn't, like, I could barely hear anything, so I'm amazed, you know, thank you for filling me in on that. I could have guessed it was about being gay, though, to be fair. Like, it didn't, I probably should have known.
Well, and the fans start chanting the slur, and then Sexisto and DeVore start selling it, like, so you can tell that's the intended,
yeah,
what they want from the crowd. So just, I hate this gimmick already.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I mean, I hate both these teams, really. But, I mean, Dahmer and Eddie are sort of improving. I don't know. This sucks, though. This match sucks.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I thought it was an improvement for Dahmer, for sure, and Valentine. But yeah, it's not a good match. Like, a low bar being raised a centimeter is still not a high bar.
Yeah. Well, Dahmer and Sexisto do start with very basic grappling before Sexisto just, he gets dumped over the top rope, but he barely clears it and then, like, bounces off the apron. It just looked very, like, brutal right away. And then he gets back in the ring and they go back to grappling, and it feels just, like, super choreographed, and to the point where I realized, like, well, Dahmer is still the CZW trainer, and I'm sure Sexisto is, like, a new wrestler, so they've probably just done this in training, like, 3 or 4 times, because it just, you could tell they were, like, setting up moves that they'd done before and stuff
like
that.
Yeah.
Eddie takes over, and he just gets in the ring and botches a neckbreaker immediately. There were a lot of botches in this show, by the way.
Oh, yeah. A couple of really bad ones as well.
And then DeVore just runs in and attacks Eddie, and just takes over. There's no tag or anything. This is just, like, basic, awful wrestling. DeVore's quite bad, actually. Like, it's crazy that John Dahmer and Eddie Valentine are the better team in a match.
I think the thing with DeVore and Sexisto is, like, they are Royal Rumble, like, wrestlers who come in, like, number 30, just immediately get thrown over, but everyone's like, that's funny. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they shouldn't be doing matches.
Opening matches.
Yeah, they shouldn't be doing opening matches. They are cameo Royal Rumble characters.
Yeah, so DeVore and Sixistos, they start doing quick tags, and they're isolating Eddie for the hot tag for John Dahmer. And then Dahmer just tags in, and he immediately gets clotheslined by DeVore, which is hilarious. But then Dahmer does a kip-up, which I did not think he'd be able to pull off, and then hits a spinebuster on DeVore.
It looks pretty good, actually. The like, first yeah. time, I was genuinely like, okay, Dahmer, I see you. Like, fair play. Maybe you are doing some training.
Yeah, he does look thinner. But, I mean, yeah. it's maybe because he used to wear tight leather, and now he wears, like...
Yeah, you also, with the quality of the video, you never know if it's maybe the aspect ratio has changed yeah. or something like that. Like, well, I don't know.
He looks sort of like he has Kevin Owens' body. But, like, compared to what he used to have,
yeah.
it sort of was, like, way worse, so...
Yeah, he's still not healthy fat, like, you know, like, yeah. some wrestlers are, but he's... He's going the right way for sure. Like
he can do a kip up, I cannot. So
yeah,
I'll
yeah,
but
yeah. Maybe we should stop being jerks.
So then, yeah, they hit the what's up leg drop, and actually the commentators say what's up this time, so I am confident they did just steal it from the Dudleys. This isn't like their gimmick. And then Eddie goes to pin. He sees Sixisto attempt to save, and he moves. So Sixisto just lands an elbow on his own partner, and then Eddie just cleanly pins him off this elbow at 7 minutes and 2 seconds. I have written here, dreadful opener. I thought this...
Dreadful opener. Not the worst opener involving Dahmer, but yeah, no. Still not great.
Yeah, and it's more... It's not even that the wrestling was so bad, but coupled with this, like, homophobic gimmick, you know, this was... This is really stupid.
Yeah, definitely.
The attack continues as the fans cheer, and then Jeff Rocker gets in the ring, and he still is, like, berating them for some reason, where I'm like, they just won... In pretty handy fashion. I don't know why the arguing continues.
I do wish I knew what was going on, because it leads to obviously the stuff that's coming up. But I was just like, why is he dressed as Rockin' Rebel? Like, why is he dressed as Rockin' Rebel? What is going on with this? This is absurd. Is he dressed as Rockin'? Is he Rockin' Rebel? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Very strange. And yeah, Jeff Rocker gets on the microphone, calls them pathetic as the fans are overwhelming with shut the fuck up chants. I should also say Eddie Valentine and John Dahmer were very over to this audience. Like they were cheering loudly for them.
Yeah. They really like them.
And then Rocker starts asking, why can't you guys be more like Rockin' Rebel? As in like, he's so cool.
Yeah. And if there's one group of people who are exactly like Rockin' Rebel, it's going to be a crowd in New Jersey.
Yeah. And then that's when the music hits, and out comes the real Rockin' Rebel. And I just groaned. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, part of me was like, well, at least Ruckus, at least he's in an angle where everyone's white. Like, there's no, like, it's safe now. We've got him away from the Ruckus angle. That's great.
I mean, I was expecting a lot of homophobia here, given the opponents. But yeah, you're right. It could have been worse.
It could have been worse, yeah. That's not to do oppression Olympics, but I'm just tired of the racism.
Yeah, so Rockin' Rebel says, usually the assholes are out in the crowd, but this week he's in the ring. And then he just asks, why are you dressed like me?
That's free. I'm not going to lie. This made me laugh. Like this yeah. not laugh. Like this made me laugh along with it.
Yeah. And to be fair, like as like Rebel's cutting a promo and I was trying to make out what it says, but the entire time the commentary is just talking over him and sort of like just very amateur hour, like as the guy's talking, they're talking, and their mics are perfect quality. So.
Yeah. And you were like, you kept texting me going, I just want to know what Rockin' Rebel has to say. That's what, he sounds like he's got some good ideas.
I did not say that. Don't put that out there. And then out of nowhere, Rockin' Rebel just turns and double clotheslines Dahmer and Eddie. And this was a swerve I actually did not see coming.
I 100% did not see it coming. I was like... The intro didn't get me, and then I was like, holy shit, I sat up in my chair, and I was like, okay, CZW, maybe we're onto something here, because the first time I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. And then the Rocker and Rockin' Rebel begin double-teaming them with just a heart attack clothesline, a double flapjack, and then the heels go to celebrate. When Dahmer just double clotheslines both of them and starts kicking their asses, I was like, how do they like fuck this up? Like,
yeah, they had a great moment. I don't think Dahmer could clothesline two beefy boys. I don't know who could clothesline two boys like that.
It's just they're so good at debuting a new thing and then they just fail immediately.
Yeah, for sure.
The heels are just chased out of the ring, and then Rebel challenges them for the next show. So that's a match to look forward to.
That's the next opening match to be excited for.
Then we get a hard cut. I like, it's so weird. Rebel, like, he flips back and forth between being like the opening or second match and then like the world title program.
Yeah.
Nothing's consistent with him. It's like he's in four different programs at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting about, I guess. He's got all that energy. You know, he's hopped up on something, so he's just ready to go whenever Zan Diggs needs him.
Yeah. So Nick Gage's like new shitty music fills the arena. It's one of those ones with like a 20-second soft open of the singer just talking, and I'm like, why would you choose this as entry?
Just skip music? Skip the thing. It was like when they did the Rick Blade had Limp Bizkit live version, so it was just 20 seconds of Fred Durst being like, "Come on, let's get got," and it's like, okay, bro, just do the song.
Yeah. So he and Nate Hatred enter with the Do. So I guess Gage and Nate Hatred, just the alliance continues.
Yeah, this looks like a Mirror World, Elseworld, like Sting retirement match coming out with Darby Allin. Like, it just like in another universe, this was what they both look like. Because yeah, Nate Hatred with his thingy. Nate Hatred defo been on the juice as well, I think. He's getting bigger. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
he's hitting the juice.
Yeah, he's not Natty Hatred at all. Like, he's fully jacked up.
He seems like the type that would brag about his steroid use, though.
I don't know if he can say any words.
Well, it's funny because Nick Gage gets in the ring and he's doing his like classic "Who's the Man" poses, and meanwhile Nate Hatred's going around and just getting in fans' faces.
Yeah, he walks past Hat Guy. We see Hat Guy.
Yeah, Hat Guy is back.
So yeah, I was not excited for this. I mean, yeah, Gage. I like Gage a lot, but yeah, Hatred. Even after last week's final match, which I thought he was all right in, I'm still not a big fan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan at all.
Yeah.
Out next with like equally shitty music is Rick Blade. I still can't place it, but it's just garbage. The fans love him though. Rick Blade's maybe the most over guy every time he comes out. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And he's followed by his partner Ruckus, who for the first time it's like he's entering calmly because he's not like having to answer to racism where he like rushes the ring.
It's pretty crazy that he's in a match with a guy called Nate Hatred, and he's probably the first time he's not worried about racism.
Well, and it's funny because I noted this. He's like, oh, he gets to walk to the ring for once. And then he's just attacked from behind with a chair by one of the Briscoe brothers.
Yeah.
Who thankfully wasn't wearing any Confederate flag shit.
No, yeah. I'm sure they had to veto that.
And so he's just attacked by Briscoe with a chair. And then as Ruckus is getting beaten down here to start the match, Nick Burke just appears for the save, attacking Briscoe. And I don't think the commentaries see it because they don't mention it whatsoever. But did you even notice that?
I didn't. I just remember. I just saw Briscoe attacking him. And then, yeah, I didn't actually spot Burke.
Yeah, a shirtless Nick Burke was like on the ground.
Oh, okay. That's so why.
I think that's how Ruckus got to the ring eventually.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, in the ring, Nate Hatred and Gage start the match by hitting this double sit-down bomb on Rick Blade, which looked really nice. And then Blade makes his own comeback, hitting spin kicks to both guys, followed by a top rope moonsault by Ruckus to outside to both guys.
Dude, so I bring it up every week, but how graceful Ruckus is,
yeah,
doesn't compute. He moves it so incredibly well. Like, I don't understand it.
Well, and he's like, we were just commenting on John Dahmer's physique. Ruckus is like a much more out of shape, bigger guy.
Yeah, he's
and he can do shit John Dahmer couldn't imagine doing.
Yeah, his girth to graciousness ratio is off the charts. Like, it's insane. Like, it's crazy. It's amazing to see. It's incredible to see because he is just flipping all over the place.
And it's like of a sort of gymnastic sort of guy. Like, remember Mercury? Like, if Mercury...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I do, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Like, if Mercury were to do the same move, I don't think the crowd would go half as crazy because it's sort of you'd expect it from him.
Yeah.
But it's because Ruckus looks so unique and gigantic that it's very impressive.
It's like when imagine, you know, how impressed you are when like Luchasaurus does a flip. Mm-hmm. But imagine it's because he's fat. Like, it's because it's Luchasaurus, it's because you're like, whoa, he's massive.
Yeah.
Ruckus is just, and he's just flipping all over the place. It's like, and it doesn't gas him either. I think that's the most incredible part. Yeah. He just like can just flip for days, man. It's insane.
Yeah, right after this, Rick Blade goes to dive onto both guys, and they just catch him out of the air.
Yeah.
And instead of, like flipping him into the sea of chairs, they throw him, like, a long dart into the sea of chairs, and Blade has, like, no way to protect himself.
I've got to say, this match was open pretty sick. Like, I was in straight away.
Definitely. So Hatred's in the ring with Ruckus. He hits him with a power slam, but then Ruckus saves it and, like, immediately hits his triple handspring elbow, another huge reaction. And then Gage is attacking Ruckus from behind, but Blade shows up out of nowhere with a corkscrew. And then the faces hit tandem, Samoa drops and standing moonsaults. This pace is just insane right off the bat, and the crowd is, like, loving it.
Yeah, absolutely nutty.
The match gains semblance in the ring as Gage hits a choke breaker on Ruckus. He tags Nate, who just hits a huge clothesline for a two count. So they're getting the heat on Ruckus here.
That, yeah, the clothesline is insane. Is it the clothesline, like, the cell from... Is it on Ruckus?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ruckus' cell is next level. Like, it's like with... is it Steiner who sells the stunner?
No, Scott Hall.
Scott, yeah, I always mix him up, my bad. Don't cancel me. Scott, but, like, that level of selling, like, the way he just flips in the air is crazy good.
Well, I will say, like, the lariat is the one move Nate Hatred can reliably hit pretty well.
Yeah, it's his spear. It's his Goldberg spear.
Yeah. So Gage hits the boot scraper kick on Ruckus, then goes for another one, but Ruckus just counters and then bounces off the ropes and hits, like, the whisper in the wind right off the turnbuckle, tags in Blade. Blade sends Gage outside and then knocks Nate Hatred out. And then quite near, what I will say, he botches a springboard shooting star press. Like, he hits it, but he slips. And you can tell his head, like, snaps into one of their heads. And it looked, like, pretty ugly.
There's a couple of bad botches in this match for sure. Like, a couple of them where you're like, yeah, he could break his neck.
Yeah, and right after that, it's like Blade's trying to save it. So he goes to the top rope with Gage and brutally botches a springboard hurricane runner. He just falls off on his head.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
It's like two in a row. And then right after, again, he goes for that springboard flipping 450 and almost botches it. Like, he almost loses it, but then nails it. And I was like, dude, like, just chill for a minute. Like,
yeah, because they can't gauge. They don't have the balance to be on the... Blade sort of has the balance top ropes, or it's a bit hit and miss, but Gage definitely doesn't. And he always looks terrified whenever he's on the ropes. I'm just like, well, don't do it then, bro. Like, don't go up there.
Well, and it's just Blade, like... I think once a guy gets one brutal botch, and Blade might as well... Like, he could have been concussed after these first two. It's sort of like you might miss the third one, man. Like, maybe just chill a bit. Like, let Ruckus do some flips.
Yeah, you're concussed. You shouldn't be doing this.
Meanwhile, Gage and Ruckus are brawling outside, and Gage just hurls Ruckus into the sea of chairs. Like, he leaves his feet and just lands on chairs. Blade makes this insane chair table pyramid outside, and he grabs Nate. It feels like this is the fourth or fifth time we've seen Nate Hatred take this bump onto, like, the chair table to the outside.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a rare occurrence. Someone builds a chair table and doesn't get thrown into it, for sure. Normally, you know, when it was built, I was like, well, Rick Blade's going through that. But no, it's actually Nate Hatred.
Yeah, Nate Hatred climbs to the top rope, and Rick Blade just, like, Ric Flair overhead throws him through the chair. I'd call it a chair pyramid because it was a table and like three chairs more on top of it.
It's absolutely insane. Like, this, like,
and he's such a heavy guy that the chairs always just go flying and
they just break. Yeah.
Yeah. So it looked pretty wild. And then Blade just gets in the ring and he just walks into a roaring elbow from Nick Gage. Then Gage attempts, he's pulling Blade up for a powerbomb on the top rope, which is always a bad idea. There's no way to lift the guy with momentum.
Yeah, this is what I was thinking of where Gage just does not look steady on those ropes. He should not be up there.
Yeah, the earlier botch was to Nate Hatred.
Oh, yeah.
And then this was sort of a botch, too. So they're trying to do the spot you might remember from, like, Psychosis and Rey Mysterio, who Nick Gage and Rick Blade are not.
Yeah.
And he's trying to powerbomb him on the top rope, slips, and then he's like, no, fuck it, we're doing this spot. And he gets back up. And Rick Blade's meant to, like, as they're in mid-powerbomb, reverse into a Hurricane Rana. And
yeah.
He just doesn't get the air and lands on again on his head. This is like the third time he's just smoking his head.
Yeah, because like the commentator's like, oh, and he reversed it. And I'm like, no, he didn't. He absolutely took the worst of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Blade at this point has multiple concussions, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
They hit double Germans as Ruckus goes for the pin. This was weird. So I've seen the spot tag teams do where one will be doing a bridging German and then the other does like a sunset flip to get the legs down. But because Blade's legs were in the ropes, the ref just refused to count and sort of, like, blew the spot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, just fucking count the fall, dude.
Like, when they start caring about rules is very odd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost never in the favor of a good show.
No, exactly. It's just do your job, ref. So Hatred and Blade are alone in the ring. Nate clotheslines the shit out of Blade. Or no, he clotheslines him out of the air as Blade attempts a springboard.
Oh, that looks sick.
It looked good. And then Nate Hatred makes a chair table. And he throws Irish whips Blade, who tries to counter, and then he just lariats him, and Blade does a moonsault at, like, with the clothesline and lands on the chair table.
Yeah, brutal.
This was the coolest clothesline yet.
Yeah.
It's like Nate Hatred should only clothesline.
Yeah, that's all he should do.
The heels grab a real table as Ruckus. I say real table because all we've seen are chair tables so far. They grab a real table and get it in the ring, and the table legs are broken. So Nick Gage, just thinking on his feet, pulls a chair in and puts one side of the table on the chair and sets up the other, like the other with the legs. And then he goes to superplex Ruckus through it, or superplex Blade through it. And Ruckus gets in the ring, and instead of breaking up the superplex, he just moves the table out of the way.
That's a fairer way to do it, I'd say.
So Blade just eats a superplex without the table, which I thought was just hilarious. And then Ruckus remakes the table, and this was a weird line. So John House, the heel commentator, was like, "Do you think Ruckus would be smart enough to build that table if Gage didn't do it first?" And then the Eric was like, he has a master's degree. That was hilarious. Yeah. And I'm like, that makes me sad. What's a guy with a master's degree doing wrestling in CCW?
It's in backflips. He's using it to its fullest.
Yeah, gymnastics scholarship.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he lays Gage on the table, but Nate Hatred hangs him up on the ropes. Hatred lays Ruckus on the table and allows Gage to hit a frog splash through it for the win at 16 minutes and 4 seconds. I have written here, fun, chaotic match, poor Blade, but this is the best Nate Hatred we've seen.
Oh, yeah, 100%. When you just said 16 minutes, it didn't feel like 16 minutes, which is an incredibly rare thing to say when watching a CZW match that lasts 16 minutes.
Definitely, yeah.
I thought it was a very fun match. Definitely Nate Hatred's come a long way from when the previous, before we saw him last week. He was not great.
Well, it's funny, you know, when you see like a new comedian and they're like dog shit awful at the start, and then they just keep doing it, and within like a year, you're like, oh, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of CZW wrestlers are like the open micers of wrestling.
Yeah, it takes longer than a year, though.
Yes, definitely.
I'd say Nate Hatred, I'm still like,
But they also have gimmicks. Like, if open micers were going through tables and light tubes, I'd be like,
yeah,
that's sick.
Maybe when the open micer he tells one good joke, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just Nate Hatred. He's like, he knows how to do a clothesline.
Mm-hmm. And so the attack on Blade continues as they throw them out of the ring. And the commentary is sort of pushing that these two are going to be future tag champs, like sort of teasing a match. Again, with Wifebeater and Justice Payne, who haven't defended these things in months and months and months.
Oh, yeah. And it's weird because the commentators aren't wrong. The tag team thing is heating up. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of high-quality tag teams in there now.
Well, they're even teasing dissension with the Briscoes.
Yeah.
They're like, what if these guys go for the titles? What are the Briscoes going to think about that?
Yeah, because Dewey, you know, he's got both of them on his books. What's he going to do? Who's he going to back?
It's weird they booked them as Dewey's repping two tag teams and not one faction.
Yeah.
Like, they're very separate, sort of.
Yeah, they don't really team up that much. Mm. I mean, I guess they help with Ruckus, but...
Yeah. But then they disappeared. Yeah. So we get our cut, and then the fucking caption I hate to see. Jimmy Washington's Cavalcade of Stars. I'd say this is, like, the most reliably terrible segment, save for the one Bridget the Midget appearance, maybe. Which did rule.
Yeah.
And every time people see Jimmy, you'll hear people in the crowd yell, Bridget! Because they just want to see her again.
It is weird to have done that and then never brought... Like, how do you recover? How do you... You should just retire the angle at that point.
I bet she broke the bank once they brought her
in. Oh, yeah, there was no money left. Yeah, no, nothing for medical care.
So he enters again. He's a cowboy now named Jimmy Washington, and he enters with Natasha to Rhinestone Cowboy. And it's weird because remember they used to have like a set with chairs and a table? Now he just comes out to an empty ring, which is always, it's just sort of bizarre.
Wasn't it only like 1 week? Maybe they're like, we haven't got the money. We need to actually need that table. We've broken it.
And immediately Jimmy starts telling hack jokes about fans like dating their hands. It's like, are you dating the left one or the right one? And then his microphone starts dying.
That's pretty funny.
Then it just fully dies. Yeah. And he's just like lost in the ring. Because it's like the only reason he's out here is to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not like he could bring out the opponent for a match.
That's what the only power he has is a microphone. Now he's just a normie. They could run in there and beat him up without a microphone.
So the fans start chanting shit at him, and he's like trying to encourage the chants just to like have something going on. It was really funny. Finally, he gets his microphone back. He introduces Johnny Cash Queer. As Johnny Cage queer, and it's just like, all right.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were just doing that of your own volition.
No, that's what he calls him.
Yeah.
And we see, like, emo mode Johnny Cashmere come out here. And again, this is the second week in a row now where Washington just starts running down Cashmere to his face, and then Cashmere just slaps him in the face. It's just like, why are you insulting these wrestlers when you can't defend yourself?
Yeah, and also, like, it's the angle is a chat show. Like, why? What are you doing? What is this? It's very cavalcade of stars. Like, you're not even doing anything.
Yeah, and it's called the cavalcade of stars, yet he's calling this guy a loser. Not a star.
He's like, that's on you then, Jimmy Washington, for booking him.
Yeah, no, this was brutal. Cashmere says, many promoters have tried to hold me down, and it's never worked. And then he agrees, Trent Acid is the best junior heavyweight in the world, but I'll still kick his ass. And then he gives the microphone back to Jimmy, who just continues to insult him, before Johnny just chases him out of the ring. I'm like, why would you give this guy the microphone back? Like,
yeah, none very of this strange. Makes sense. No.
Again, it's just a segment that doesn't need to exist. This could have been Johnny Cashmere just coming out and cutting a promo. And instead we had this fucking convoluted bullshit, like, 2-minute promo from Jimmy Washington.
Yeah, somehow they managed to make a promo from a CZW wrestler the palatable option.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of which, Justice Payne's music hits, and they're saying, is Justice Payne gonna like side with Cashmere here? And when he grabs the mic and says, hey, I know what it's like to get fucked in the ass by Zandig too. He doesn't say fucked in the ass, but he points to his ass. So what else could he be talking about?
Yeah, I guess they need to keep things PG, don't they?
And he says, but he's in Japan tonight while we're out here busting our asses. Which begs a question, like, why are you working for this guy? I don't know. Justice Payne just starts booking matches. He says, so tonight, since he's not here, Johnny Cashmere is going to wrestle Lobo for the Iron Man Championship. And it just happens later. And then Trent Acid's music hits, the best music in this thing. I've been listening to this thing all week.
Yeah, it's such a banger. That intro is great. The Chase by Giorgio Moda. It's dynamite.
I couldn't remember the name, but I'm glad you gave him the shout.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shout out to electronic music pioneer from the Comics in the Combat Zone podcast,
dude,
Giorgio Moda.
If you don't know what we're talking about, give it a listen.
Yeah, it is dynamite. I mean, I'm on the Trent train. I love Trent Acid, so I love when he shows up.
Mm-hmm. I could do without Zabar, but
oh yeah, definitely.
Maybe that's just heel heat. Maybe I'm being a mark.
yeah.
So Acid gets on the mic, and by the way, I forgot to mention it earlier, but they've just been referring to Zandig and Trent Acid and Zabar as the Big Deals. That's like their new faction name.
They are Big Deals, I would say.
I expect to see a T-shirt soon, but Deals will be spelled like D-E-E-L-Z.
Yeah, that definitely. Yeah, it'll be like graffiti spray paint or something. I can handle that.
Yeah. So Justice Payne, you have no power to book matches, and you're not shit, and you're scared of Zandig, Zabar, and me. And so he hands Zabar the microphone, and before he can even say anything, Justice Payne just grabs him by his ponytail. And he, like, has him down. He just puts him down on his knees while he's cutting a promo with the other mic. And, like, man, this is the ultimate, like, just bitch-out move.
Yeah, yeah.
It was pretty funny. And so, yeah, he's holding him and he cuts a promo. And then out of nowhere, Nick Mondo appears. The returning sick Nick Mondo.
So that's who they were talking about when they said a returning big star. But it's the wrong way to sell it,
right?
Because they do imply they're, like,
I'm expecting an ECW legend.
Yeah, you're expecting not a returning wrestler from injury. You're expecting, like, considering Tommy Dreamer was in it. But, yeah, because, like, whoa, that's the big thing. And it's like, you kind of sold it the wrong way. And also, because we're as close to binge watching as you can with CZW, it doesn't feel that long. But it could have been a few months or two.
So. And from the sounds of it, he had a legitimate fucked up leg injury. And I know the exact spot is when he went for the... the springboard leg drop, and his leg just hit the ladder. His blade moved.
Yeah.
Which was a dumb spot to do, but that's Nick Mondo for you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm glad to see him back in his pants. I like his pants.
Me too, and to be clear, I would rather see Nick Mondo than Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. So, 100%.
And the way he returns is awesome. So Justice Payne's back is turned as he gets to the top rope, and he just missile drop kicks him in the back into a super kick from Trent Acid.
Yeah.
Great spot.
It is amazing. And the camera's positioned so you don't really see him coming either. He just, like, flies in from nowhere. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, this is it, boy.
Yeah. So Mondo cuts a promo as they just beat him down. And then out of nowhere, Reckless Youth runs down and makes the save, cleans house. And after seeing Mondo, I'm like, fuck Reckless Youth.
Yeah.
Who cares about him? And he cuts a promo on his own. I will say Reckless Youth is the best delivery of all these guys. You can just tell he's like probably gone to promo class or something. Like, I don't think he's the best talker. He's really lame and like unfunny. But just how he sounds comes across the best.
Yeah, he's got good stage voice.
And then he just immediately starts telling gay jokes about those about Nick Mondo and Trent Acid. And then he calls for a Justice Payne Reckless Youth tag against Acid and Mondo right now. And they go to chase after them, but the heels run away. But
yeah.
It is a match we will see later. Then we cut as the announcer makes sure to introduce Rob the Enforcer Hartog, who's always just funny. He just looks funny. There's something funny about him. And he's like leaning against the thing like he's tired already. And then out comes Johnny Cashmere for the second segment in a row. And then next out is Iron Man champion Lobo. Where were your expectations for this match going into it?
Just because, like, normally the point is to see Lobo just take some insane shit. But Cashmere can't really do that. Like, he's not... I don't know. I didn't know what I was expecting. I thought maybe Lobo would get a bit more to do because I think he was going to be the one destroying the other one. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I wasn't that excited. Like, I'm not... Like, my excitement for Lobo matches always comes from, like, oh, he's against Wifebeater. Wifebeater is going to run him through a wall. And, like, that's going to look cool. It's not because I'm like, Lobo's a cool wrestler.
No, it's like the Mick Foley effect. Like,
What
punishment will this man take to
Not to the same degree, just to be clear. But, yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, so it starts with Lobo just punching, like just brawling with him right away. But Cashmere hits a nice suplex, then a Thez press. They brawl to the outside, and Lobo's just tossed into the sea of chairs and then takes two chair shots to the back. So Cashmere's in control early here. He makes a chair table and then lays Lobo on the six-chair table and then climbs to the top rope and hits this insane flipping senton onto Lobo, which looked like devastating.
Yeah, it looked brutal, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was the first like my head picked up with this match. Yeah. I'm like, all right. And then he goes to do another dive, and Lobo gets up and throws a chair at him. And it's funny because normally they'll throw the chair flat, and it doesn't look that bad. But this chair turned in midair, and like the edge just hit him in the tailbone. And then he gorilla presses Cashmere, which I didn't think he had this in him. I guess Cashmere is pretty light, but he's like walking around with him like Zandig style. And then just hurls him into the sea of chairs.
He just fully launches him.
Yeah, it looked brutal. And then he hits him with two chair shots of his own that were way more devastating than Cashmere's and yells, "That's how you swing a chair." Which he was right.
His way
better.
Yeah, and the commentators are also they just keep calling Hartog fat all the time. Like throughout his entire match.
That is the focus.
Whatever
happened between him and Rock and Rebel, I guess that's just dropped. Thankfully.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe it'll show back. They'll come back up again. I don't know. Rock and Rubble's got his own thing going on around with Jeff Rocker.
You're right, of course. So they go. They're wrestling around the arena, and Cashmere. There's like a door to the penalty box of like, because I guess it's a hockey rink at some point, or I don't know. It just looks like that, and he puts Lobo's leg in this thing and just starts slamming the door. And I'm like, there's no way to fake this.
No, yeah, it just looks brutal.
Lobo's leg's just gonna be all bruised up tomorrow. And then they go through and they're in that back office area. If you haven't listened to it before, it's always like around the cage that surrounds the arena. And there's this like, I think it's where like whoever works here does their office work or whatever. Cause it's like a mini building inside the building.
Yeah. This time they're like, I think they go, "Oh, Hartog's going to eat all the concessions." Where is he? He's eating all the concessions, fat boy.
Yeah. I guess that is where they have the concession stand.
Yeah. And they're just like, "Oh, Hartog's not even reffing."
Yeah. So Cashmere sets up a table and then they have to use a ladder to climb up on top of this roof. And there's just, like, three fans sitting on top of this roof. Like, that's their seat.
Yeah.
Which is a sick seat.
Yeah, well, why not? Why the JFK spot? Like, you know, up on the grassy knoll. Yeah, no, it's a good spot. You see everything.
Yeah, exactly. And Cashmere drags Lobo. He's asking the fans if he wants to see him put him through the table. And then Lobo just pulls Cashmere onto his shoulders and dives off with a Death Valley driver through the table. This is about like a 10-foot drop, and it looked fucking brutal.
It looks insane. I wasn't expecting this sort of spot in this match, to be honest.
I was expecting Cashmere to take this much just brutality.
Like, no, definitely not.
Although, to be fair, this would fuck up both guys for sure. Lobo just fireman carries him back to the ring and goes for the pin. Cashmere kicks out at 2. So Lobo goes to the top, lands a top rope leg drop. Cashmere kicks out at 2. And then Lobo just hits him with like four of the stiffest chair shots in the back you've ever seen. Yeah. They sound like gunshots.
Yeah.
And again, Cashmere kicks out at two. And that's where we get our Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin spot, where Lobo, for some reason, puts him in a sharpshooter, which I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And the reason is because he probably just watched WrestleMania 13.
Yeah, and he's just like, this is going to look cool, bro.
Yeah, and Cashmere, doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin, he struggles, refuses to tap, instead passes out, and Lobo gets the pass-out win at 9 minutes and 1 second. This match was awesome.
Yeah, I was really surprised. And the commentators are right. They're like, to win that, they had to kill that boy. He had to kill that boy.
I liked the story of the match.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty convoluted, just stealing a WrestleMania finish, but whatever.
Yeah, they redeemed Cashmere, you know, and it was a good match. It was a good match.
That's
good
why
fun
I asked
match.
Your expectations at the first, because mine were low, and then I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was actually pretty sick. A lot of great spots. Not great. That's the most they can do, like, I think. They're both Shane McMahon, who can only jump off things, like, who is only willing to sacrifice his body. Like, they're not great wrestlers, but of what they could do, they did a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, like, Zandig doesn't really respect guys unless they're willing to take, like, deathmatch level bumps.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Probably like, Cashmere, you want a better spot? Well, you go out there and prove it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll take every bump then.
Yeah, that felt like, Nate Hatred last week, the final match felt very much like that. Nate Hatred's like, okay, now you're one of us, young blood.
Exactly, yeah. So, and the fans do give Johnny Cashmere a standing ovation as he's just dragged to the back from like security guards. Then we got our cut, and Mark Briscoe is introduced. Singular Mark Briscoe introduced with the do, no Jay in sight. And his opponent, Nick Burke, I love they introduce him as former world champion, Nick Burke.
Yeah, it is odd that.
Well, he had it for 5 minutes, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
He was the guy in between Tajiri and then Zayn.
Oh, yeah, that was a good reign, actually. That was a hot reign that he had there.
That was a hot 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, they start very fast-paced. Briscoe's just, like, getting his ass kicked. He's pressed over the top onto the do. And then Burke follows with a chair-assisted dive onto both. And then, out of nowhere, Jay Briscoe, he must have been under the ring all night, because he just sneaks out from under. They do twin magic, which the Bellas would later steal 10 years later or so.
To be fair, though, with how like, big the Briscoes game, they could have actually been ripped off from them, to be fair.
Yeah.
The Briscoes could have originated that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we've said how similar they look. We can't tell them apart, so it's sort of a clever spot. I just wish they didn't do it, like, immediately. Because it was, like, within the first minute of the match.
Yeah.
I think, like, maybe have Nick Burke get the better of him for a while and then switch.
Because it is weird, because the point is, like, yeah, the point is not, like, you actually want to confuse your opponent. It's because when the other one gets tired, you swap the other one in without realizing. It's not like you want Burke to be like, oh, my God, who am I facing here? Like, you don't want to do it straight away.
But then I'd come to realize, oh, they're not doing this just once. This is the match.
Yeah, they keep doing it.
So Jay is in full control now until Burke reverses a monkey flip landing on his feet and he starts clotheslining, running wild. And then he throws Jay outside as Dew distracts the referee and Mark is just back in. Mark hits three fisherman busters, two fisherman suplex ending with a fisherman buster for two. And then he does this crazy, like, I don't remember seeing this before. It's technically a 450, but he's facing backwards. Like, it was a moonsault with an extra half rotation.
Yes.
And Nick Burke moves out of the way, and Mark just fucking slams back first onto the mat.
Yeah, brutal.
It looked like he just gave himself more momentum to hit into the ring as hard as possible.
There's a couple of moments like that where they just land on either concrete or the ring really hard.
Yeah. So the referee is distracted again as Jay actually just sneaks in and super kicks Nick Burke. This felt like the first one where Nick Burke actually realized what was going on or meant to.
Yeah.
So you can actually see both Briscoes for the first time here. And then even the Dew pulls him out of the ring and holds Burke in place for this beautiful corkscrew by Jay over the top rope. And then back in the ring, Burke again reverses into a go-behind, hits a nice dragon suplex. Then Burke sees both. He's trying to tell the referee, hits the Burke driver. But the referee's just fully distracted with Dew. In one of those moments where it's like, it makes the referee look too stupid almost, because it's like a good like 2 minutes. He's just arguing on the apron with the Dew. It's just, I still hate that name.
The Dew.
Then Mark swaps with Jay and plays possum on the ground as Nick Burke misses this one. So he goes for a frog splash. And like you said, there's just no water in the pool. He just frog splashes the mat. And then Mark hits a moonsault press of his own for the win at 7 minutes and 56 seconds. So this was okay. I don't know.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it's a fun little... I just hope that they don't do that loads.
Yeah.
Like, they're swapping in and out. Yeah, just a fun one-off, you know. Or, like, if they do it one time, like, DeVore comes out instead of one of the Briscoes.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, or just something. Yeah, I just hope they don't do it a lot. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, so the Briscoes are, like, leaving triumphantly. And then Ruckus just attacks both of them from behind, getting his revenge.
Nice.
And they take out the Briscoes. Like, Nick Burke just comes up the ramp, starts fighting the Briscoes again. Then they go to attack the Dew, but he ducks underneath and runs to the back. So they're definitely, like, building to a spot where the Dew's going to take, like, a brutal bump down the line.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And then Burke gets on the microphone and says him and Ruckus will fuck up those pussies on the next show. And the commentators are like, don't swear. Why don't you swear?
Yeah. I think maybe Deer will get his hair shaved off. That feels like maybe something CZW would do.
Definitely. Well, didn't they once? Whose hair did they cut? It was Rockin' Rebel.
Oh, yeah. They just snipped. Yeah.
Snipped off his, like, lame ponytail.
Yeah. That. Oh, yeah. That was out of nowhere as well, wasn't it? Yeah, madness.
Yeah, back when he was a babyface.
Yeah.
So then we cut, and then out first to Nick Mondo's music, which is second only to Trent Acid's music in my mind, cut my life into pieces.
Banger.
Mondo, Acid, and Zabar are out, and they confirm that Mondo was out with a knee injury here, actually. And then out come Justice Payne and Reckless Youth to Justice Payne's music. I feel like I would, like, take that as a slight if I was a wrestler having to enter to the bigger star's music. You know what I mean?
Justice Payne's the biggest star.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, like, Reckless Youth just has to... Like, they're not a regular tag team, and he's just...
Okay. Yeah, not doing a separate meet. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, maybe he's showing... You know, he knows he's got to show some fealty.
Respect to the big guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's only come back for a past couple of weeks. Justice Payne's been there since day one.
Well, and it did make sense, because they were to just rush the ring, and then this match starts, like, fast-paced. So Mondo and Justice Payne start in the ring doing a reverse off as Reckless Youth and Acid are brawling outside. Acid's thrown into the sea of chairs. And then there's this nice spot where Mondo's going for, like, the Rey Mysterio sort of wheelbarrow bulldog on Justice Payne. But Reckless Youth jumps on the apron and grabs his head and just hangs him up on the top rope, causing him to get German suplexed by Justice Payne.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Mm. And Justice Payne looks good as well, actually. I keep saying it, but, like, he's definitely not...
He's one of the guys who's quickly getting better.
Yeah, he's getting better, and, like, he just looks better, and he's, like, just seems to be giving a bit more of a shit about it.
Well, I bet as CZW's star is rising, which I imagine happened, I don't know this for sure, but I imagine since the closure of ECW, CZW is sort of the violent promotion for the hardcore wrestling fans.
Yeah, and there was probably a meeting where Zandig was like, if you want to ride the star, you got to buck up, brother. And there was some people who were like, cool, head down, let's get into it, and then others who were like,
I'm going to leave the company.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And then Reckless Youth and Acid getting a reverse off. It ends with a big Yakuza kick from Acid. He does the, I forget they call it the Yakuza kick. I was calling it the big boot. But Acid does a great one, where it's just the boot right to the guy's face.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mondo and Justice Payne are brawling outside. All four guys are very intense. Like, I'm noticing they're all laying in all their shit. And it's all looking pretty good. You can tell they're taking this match, like, pretty seriously.
Yeah, these feel like the four guys that would be watching, like, VHS tapes of, like, New Japan Pro Wrestling or something, like, all together.
Yeah, definitely. Nick Mondo's just watching Faces of Death and being like,
oh, yeah, true. And they're all doing drugs at the same time.
Yeah. The match regains order as Justice Payne and Mondo are in the ring, and Acid and Reckless Youth are in the corners. Reckless Youth tagged in full control until Acid blind tag. It's a beautiful missile dropkick. Again, just everyone laying shit in really well. They're double teaming Reckless Youth. This is so weird. So, like, they have Reckless Youth up for a spine buster, like a double spine buster. And then he just kicks out and hits a lion salt onto both guys.
Hmm.
And then both guys basically no-sell it and then just get him back up for the spine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then hit it. And I was like, did they fuck up or something?
Yeah, it was a bit weird, actually. I thought that.
I will say, if I was to criticize, especially Nick Mondo in this match, there's a lot of no-selling. There's a lot of him just taking a big move and then popping right back up. I don't know if he's trying to make it like his gimmick or something, but...
No, yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether it's that. Yeah, because it'll... Yeah, and it's pretty. He sells more his own moves than like taking actual damage. Which, like, I guess if they just want to move on to the next big thing, or just like they want to be the one to take do the most insane spot, so they'll just get up right away, and it's like, right, it's onto me jumping off this insane thing. But
yeah, definitely, it's like it's like when you don't give the crowd enough time to laugh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Next joke. but they are getting the heat on Reckless Youth here. Acid hangs him up on the top, and Mondo hits a tumbleweed leg drop that looks good. And then Mondo gets Reckless Youth on the top, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. He takes a top rope face buster and then gets up, and then Reckless Youth drops a knee on the back of his head. And then he just pops up and clotheslines Reckless Youth immediately. And I'm like, dude, you just took like two pretty high-end moves.
Yeah.
Like, and you're just fine. He tags Acid, and then they do this like ridiculous martial art, like double throat thrust, and then hit him double elbows. They drop on him. And then they both climb to opposite end of the corners, and they both miss as Reckless Youth gets out of the way, which was a good hot tag, because just as Pain comes in and just starts clotheslining the shit out of everyone, he drop kicks Mondo, a nice belly-to-belly to Trent Acid. Reckless Youth assists with a sick tornado DDT on Trent Acid, and then a reverse neckbreaker on Mondo and a frog splash for two, which again, it's like, they're going so quick, like, Reckless Youth isn't tagged in, but who gives a fuck? It's basically a tornado tag match.
Yeah, it just keeps going round and round. Like, these guys are just always like, right, I want to do the next flip. And just keep going faster and faster.
Yeah, exactly. Mondo grabs a chair as Justice Payne knocks Trent Acid off the apron with a chair. And then he lays Reckless Youth on a seated chair in one corner. And then goes to the opposite corner, like Rob Van Dam style, and hits like a Van Terminator leg drop onto Reckless Youth, who's laying on the chair. And it's like, dude, that's the leg you just fucking busted, and it looked, like, pretty rough on him.
He didn't give a shit. 100% didn't give a shit.
Doesn't care at all.
No.
You know he just didn't go to the hospital. He just laid there until it was better.
Yeah, 100. Like, yeah, definitely. only bloody pussies go to hospital, man.
Yeah. Justice Payne and Acid take over in the ring as Justice Payne hits this sky-high bomb, but Mondo makes the save. Goes for another, but Acid counters with his own blue thunder bomb, which looked really nice. Justice Payne kicks through a double clothesline. I love this. Like, you know when guys do a double clothesline, 9 times out of 10, someone will duck under it?
Yeah.
Justice Payne, like, cartwheels through, breaking their connection, and then he suplexes both of them
yeah,
at the same time.
It did look sick.
It looked awesome. He looks like he's going to moonsault Mondo, but, like, who's on the outside. And instead, he springboard forward and does the crossbody onto Trent Acid, who's on the other side of the turnbuckle. That also looked awesome. Justice Payne pulls out a table as Reckless Youth is hitting Mondo with triple suplexes in the ring. Then Acid is laid on the table outside. They go in the ring with Nick Mondo, get him up for a double gorilla press, and just long dart him over the top through Trent Acid through the table. It's awesome spots, man.
Yeah, it's great.
The match pace is just nonstop here.
Yeah, they just kept going. They were just like, let's do this and then this and then this. And like you said, it's maybe a shame that there's not a chance for chance for selling, because they are just back up and like setting up tables or like getting on the ropes or whatever. But it's still fun to watch.
Yeah, it sort of feels like a scramble match at this point, but I'm enjoying it. Reckless Youth makes a chair table, and then he just clotheslines Acid's head off like with a beautiful lariat. And then he tells Justice Payne to get Acid on his shoulders, like Doomsday Device style, and he hits a top rope cutter off of Justice Payne's shoulders through the chair table to Trent Acid, which looked brutal. Then they just grab Z-Bar out of nowhere and hit a super power bomb from the top rope.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
And Mondo and Justice Payne are on the top rope. Justice Payne hits a super back body drop off the top rope to the outside through a table, and Mondo just barely lands on this table.
Yeah, he looks like he takes most of just on his back.
Yeah, insane, like, near miss. Mondo kicks out at two, so Justice Payne just picks him up, and he hits the Payne Thriller, which is just essentially an angle slam, for the clean win here at 17 minutes and 42 seconds. Dude, given how much they packed into these 17 minutes, I was like, holy shit.
Great match. Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. And, didn't feel like 17 minutes. I had a lot of fun watching it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there was just a lot of giddy moments, I'd say, where you're like, I can't believe they did that. And then you're saying that like 5 times immediately after as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the baby faces just chuck out the heels, and then they leave together, and this show ends without controversy.
Yeah, a very quite an abrupt ending, I'd say. I was like, is that it? Because the commentator, and which is weird to be like, is that it? Because I was like, normally I'm like, thank God that's it. But I was like, is that it? Because the commentators are like, oh, blah, blah. I was like expecting something else. But yeah, then it just ends.
Mm-hmm. So well, I'm curious on your final assessment on this one, because I would say, like, it's weird. I do like a lot of violence in these matches usually. I would say this is one of the least violent cards. There were crazy bumps, but as far as, like, glass or barbed wire or anything violent, there was none of that.
Yeah, there was no, like, these spots you could see in, like, probably, like, the heyday. To be fair, you see them in AEW now, a lot of these spots that they were doing here. So they're not, like, below the, like, grim pyramid of fire or whatever.
Yeah.
They were brutal, but, like, it was also in service of good wrestling. I mean, my final score is probably 2.5, I'd say.
I was right there too.
Yeah, I think 2.5. I think the in-ring audio was really bad, which is a shame, but also positive in some cases. But yeah, like really a bad match. Only bad moment was the Cavalcade of Stars.
No, the opener was really bad. I would say pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a bad match, but on the John Dharma scale, I'd say fine. It was all right, and I didn't hate it, and I even found myself chuckling at Rockin' Rebel.
And
so
Jeff Rocker.
I mean, Jeff Rocker walking always makes me laugh. Like, I always appreciate that. Not bad.
But still, like, that's some of the least amount of offensive bad shit we've seen on a CZW show.
Yeah,
and then there were lots of, like, solid matches. It's. I almost wanted to go 2.75, but it's just, it was missing that sort of violent spectacle, and it did have, like, particularly shitty production, so it does sort of keep it still down there, but...
Yeah, shitty production, cut out the slurs, but, you know, less racism, always a win.
Mm-hmm.
100% a win when there's less racism. I don't think there was any...
Yeah, I don't think race so.
Yeah, which is a big improvement over the past couple of weeks. So
plus, you couple that with a Nick Mondo return. You couple that with just, like, a good Nate Hatred match. Two matches went over 15 minutes, and I wasn't feeling the
I didn't want to kill myself. Yeah, that rules.
Yeah, so, and plus the Lobo Cashmere sort of surprise. So
yeah, that was good.
There was lots of good stuff on this. In fact, I'm going to go 2.75.
Whoa. Well, then to balance that, I'm going to go 2.2. No, I'm staying at 2.5.
All right. Well, hey, that has been an episode of Comics in the Combat Zone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want to follow us on Instagram, I'm at FunnyJordanD.
And I'm at Pink Hoverboard.
Thank you so much for listening. Keep it tuned to The Wrestling Brain, and we'll see you next week.